Section 2, Natural Regions. As you read, look for the range in elevation in Louisiana, characteristics of Louisiana's five natural regions, the plants, animals, and birds that thrive in the different types of terrain. Terms: physical geography, elevation, relief, alluvial soil, estuary, lowest soil, erosion, marsh, salt dome, geologist, uplift. Because people think of alligators, swamps, and Spanish moss when they think about Louisiana, the diversity of its natural environment can surprise residents and visitors alike. You can explore the water and wildlife of a swamp in an airboat, or paddle along slowly in a canoe or kayak. In other parts of the state, you might see a flat prairie covered in grasses and wildflowers, walk through quiet pine forests on beds of fallen needles, or even scramble to the top of a rocky hill that is known, mistakenly, as a mountain. Physical geography is concerned with observing these differences in the terrain and character of the land in a given place or region. Geographers identify, name, and analyze the regions they study. Dividing an area into regions makes it easier to understand. Natural regions are identified and classified according to characteristics such as relief, soil type, vegetation, and climate. Geographers have divided the United States into eight natural regions. Louisiana is located in the western portion of the Gulf Coastal Plain. The name Gulf Coastal Plain indicates that it sits near the Gulf of Mexico and has a relatively low elevation in comparison to other regions in the United States. Elevation refers to the height of a place above sea level. Relief is how geographers describe the difference between the highest and lowest levels in a given area. Elevations in Louisiana range from about 8 feet below sea level in New Orleans to a height of 535 feet above sea level at Driscoll Mountain in Bienville Parish. Although Driscoll is called a mountain, geographers classify it as a hill. For them, a landform can only be called a mountain when the elevation from its base to its summit, or highest point, exceeds 2,000 feet. In 1869, the Louisiana legislature called for a geological survey of the state. Samuel Lockett, who taught at the Louisiana State Seminary and Military Academy, now Louisiana State University, was chosen to lead the expeditions. These continued for the next 5 years. The survey that Lockett and his fellow workers produced in 1874 identified five major natural regions in the state. These are the Mississippi floodplain, the Red River Valley, the terraces, the marshes, and the hills. Geologists continue to use these regional classifications today. Mississippi Floodplain Region. A floodplain is the flat land along a river that is likely to flood. The Mississippi Floodplain Region runs along both sides of the river in the eastern part of the state. This region has alluvial soil, meaning it is made up of sediment carried by a river and deposited along its banks. Alluvial soil is fertile, produces plentiful natural plant life, and is also well-suited for growing food. The Mississippi floodplain region is subdivided into three parts: the natural levee, the swamp, and the passes. The natural levee. Natural levees are created when a river floods and silt is deposited along the banks of a river. Natural levees begin with 100 feet of a river and can cover an area up to 5 miles wide. Typically, natural levees are only 10 to 15 feet high and cannot reliably keep a river from flooding. Man-made levees have been built to try to keep the Mississippi River inside its banks. The slope between the top of the natural levee and the river is called the bacher. Only trees that can survive flooding grow well in this area. When the Mississippi's banks were less heavily populated, the natural levee was often bordered by rows of a long grass called switch cane. Today, switch cane is rare along the river's banks. The swamp. The swamp is the lowest part of the river basin, and it exists beyond the natural levee. One definition for swamp is a seasonally flooded forest. After effective pumps were invented in the early 1900s, swamp lands on the edges of New Orleans were drained. The city expanded beyond the natural levee into areas that had been swamps of the Mississippi floodplain. Images of cypress trees, dark water, and alligator hunters shape most people's ideas about Louisiana's swamps. Many people think of swamps as exotic, strange, or unusual, and believe they are remote and difficult to reach. In fact, swamps are numerous and very accessible. They exist in parks or in wildlife refuges located on the outskirts of the state's biggest cities. Cypress and tupelo gum trees do well there and are frequently adorned by Spanish moss. The Passes, the geological name for the paths the Mississippi River takes as it flows into the Gulf of Mexico, is the Passes. This area is also called a delta because the mouth of the river is triangle-shaped, like the Greek alphabet letter delta. On a map, the passes can resemble a hand with fingers spread wide. Because this area also looks from the air like the foot of a bird, the passes are also called the Birdfoot Delta of the Mississippi River. At the estuary, the place where the river meets the sea, the water changes from fresh water to salt water. Here the land and the water continually collide and the landforms shift. As they do, the passes themselves change. The vegetation in the passes is dominated by marsh grasses. They have shallow roots and can survive in the unstable ecosystem, everything that exists in a particular environment. Red River Valley Region. The Red River Valley region borders the Red River as it flows from the northwestern corner of the state to central Louisiana. The region is like a smaller version of the Mississippi floodplain. It has a single stream with natural levees and lower-lying areas behind them. Both the elevation and relief are low. Like the Red River, the region gets its name from the rich red soil that the river carries from Oklahoma and Texas into Arkansas and, finally, into Louisiana. When the river flooded, it deposited red-colored soil along the riverbanks. Caddo Indians lived in this area before Europeans arrived. American settlement of the area occurred later than in other parts of the state because the river was blocked in places and difficult to navigate. Once its course was cleared, small farmers moved into the area. Later, larger cotton plantations developed. Today, the Red River flows between the urban areas of Shreveport and Bossier City and continues southeast through Alexandria. Terraces Region. The three distinctive types of landforms that make up the Terraces region were all created by the Mississippi River when it flowed into the Gulf along other courses. The river changed its course after every ice age, time in the distant past when a large part of the world was covered with ice. Each time it changed its course and developed a new channel, it left behind distinct physical features, what geographers call topography. The three divisions of the Terraces region are the Blufflands, the Prairies, and the Flatwoods. The Blufflands. The Blufflands are the highest part of the Terraces region. These were the natural levees along the river when it flowed there. These levees gained more height when the wind carried a fine soil that landed on the bluffs and built them even higher. This dust is called loess soil. Windblown dust that builds up and forms a ridge of bluffs as it approaches higher elevations. Because loess soil is light and contains silt, it erodes easily. The erosion, wearing away by the action of water or wind, sometimes left nearly vertical slopes on the edges of bluffs. A good place to see such eroded bluffs is in West Feliciana Parish. The blufflands are home to beautiful forests of holly, ash, and oak trees. The floors of these forests are covered with rich green ferns, mosses, and seasonal wildflowers. Many dogwood and magnolia trees also grow in the region. The Prairies. The prairies are also part of the Terraces region, but unlike the blufflands, they are flat. In fact, they are so flat that many think they look like parts of the Midwestern United States. In the past, these prairies were covered by tall grasses, some of which could grow as high as 6 feet tall. One 19th century traveler wrote that the prairie grasses were so tall they brushed the stirrups of his horse's saddle as he rode through. Some people thought these prairies looked like seas of grass. Using this comparison, some early settlers called a grove of trees around a group of houses an island in the prairie. Small prairies were called coves. This is how the community of Roberts Cove in Acadia Parish got its name. At the time of European settlement, prairie grass covered 2.5 million acres in southwest Louisiana. Many farmers took advantage of the richness of the soil and the ease with which they could clear the land in the prairies region. Widespread agricultural use and development changed the landscape. Today, Louisiana's prairies are considered critically imperiled because they only have 200 acres of natural prairies remain. However, efforts are underway to restore some of this unique topography. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service established 4 wildlife refuges in the prairies region: the Cameron Prairie, Sabine, Lacassine, and Shell Keys Wildlife Refuges protect plant and wildlife species within their combined 184,000 acres. The Flatwoods. Like the prairies region, the Flatwoods areas are very flat. Unlike the prairies, they are covered in trees. The sea in the flatwood drains better than in the prairies, and this allows the growth of trees. These areas are dominated by a mixture of wiregrass, palmetto, and forests of hardwood trees and many varieties of pine. In fact, early settlers called the Flatwoods region the Piney Woods. Today, there are still many pine forests in this area. Marsh Region. The marsh region lies along Louisiana's border with the Gulf of Mexico. A marsh is found only along a coast and is the transition area between land and water. In Louisiana, the marsh region is a wet, treeless prairie dominated by water and grasses. Louisiana has about 2.5 million acres of marsh. Most commonly, the marsh is covered by grasses that have shallow roots in the muck and peat soil. The water and abundant rainfall feed the plants. In turn, the marsh serves as an important home for migrating birds each year. Naturalists who count the birds as they move through the marsh region in the spring and fall have identified more than 180 species, ranging from tiny hummingbirds to large waterfowl like Canada geese. Salt Marsh. The water in the marsh region changes the closer it gets to the ocean. The part of the region where salty ocean water and fresh water meet is called the salt marsh. Plants that can thrive in its brackish water, a mixture of salt water and fresh water, include saltgrass, cordgrass, and various species of mangrove. Freshwater marsh. The freshwater marsh supports different species of plants. In this more inland area of the marsh, plants like iris and cattail thrive. When saltwater enters a freshwater marsh, it kills the freshwater vegetation. This process, called saltwater incursion, can threaten freshwater ecosystems and shrink this part of the marsh region's ecosystem. Salt domes. Salt domes are geological formations found in Louisiana's salt marsh. Salt domes are covered by layers of rock that, under great pressure, have folded upward, rising above the surrounding marsh in formations that look like domes. Inside, salt domes contain not just salt, but also other valuable minerals like sulfur and petroleum. The 5 largest salt domes are called the Five Islands because they rise above the surrounding marsh region. They are Avery Island, Weeks Island, Cope Blanche, Belle Isle, and Jefferson Island. Avery Island is best known as the home of the Louisiana pepper sauce called Tabasco. Weeks Island is home to a strategic petroleum reserve and maintained by the U.S. Department of Energy for use in case of emergencies. Cope Blanche is still accessible by land, but Belle Isle is remote and can only be reached by boat. Hills Region. The Hills Region covers much of North Louisiana and also a smaller area in southeastern Louisiana. It is the highest region and has the roughest terrain. Geologists, scientists who study the origin, history, and structure of Earth, classify the region by focusing on its rock formations. A major part of the hills is a raised area of rock called the Sabine Uplift and also the Dole Hills. An uplift is caused when rock formations press against each other and fold upward. As erosion wore down portions of the uplifts, ridges were formed. The resulting ridges are called wolds. The Kisatchie Wold is located in the Kisatchie area of northwest Louisiana. It is home to the highest point in the state, the 535 Driscoll Mountain, located in Bienville Parish. The soil that dominates in the hills region is red in color because it is high in iron. Pine trees are among the few crops that grow well in this soil, and much of the region is now planted in pine tree farms. Even the pines that grow naturally dominate the landscape and crowd out other ground plants. Special feature, the amazing disappearing Lake Pinure. Picture in your head a kitchen sink filled with water. Imagine pulling the plug in the sink and watching the water create a whirlpool as it drains. What if the sink you pictured was a lake instead? Hard to imagine, isn't it? But something like this actually happened in Lake Pinure in Iberia Parish. Until 1980, Lake Pinure was only 11 feet deep and was home to oil drilling rigs and underground salt mines. Fishermen caught fish there, and others just enjoyed the view. On November 21, 1980, however, things changed. An oil rig drill got stuck deep below the lake's bottom. As workers tried to free the drill, a large whirlpool began to grow around the spot where the drill was stuck. The whirlpool eventually sucked in the rig along with 11 barges. Luckily, the men on the rig evacuated in time. As it turns out, the oil rig workers had drilled in the wrong location by mistake. They bored a hole into the top of an underground salt dome. The water eroded the salt walls, which caused the whirlpool to develop in the lake. Over 3.5 billion gallons of water disappeared into the whirlpool in just 3 hours. By following an established evacuation plan and helping each other, the 50 men who were working 1,500 feet underground in the flooded salt mine reached the surface safely. You might be surprised to find out that Lake Pinure still has water in it. Salt water from the Delcom Canal washed into the empty lake basin, creating a 1,300-foot deep lake over the course of 2 days. As the lake refilled, there was another surprise. 9 of the 11 lost barges popped to the surface. How do you think this kind of disaster could be avoided in the future?